Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Backslider, backsliding. These are words I saw often in newspapers in a certain country a few years ago. The title was being used for people who were going back to the old ways at a time when the government was trying to turn over a new leaf and take a new direction. Backsliding is also a very important word in the Bible. On this program, we're going to be talking about spiritual backsliding. Before we get into that lesson, may we mention that with this broadcast of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we begin a new study series titled Guide to Christian Growth. There are 12 lessons written by William MacDonald and Cyril Brooks. We'll be telling you how to get your copy of this course at the end of the program. Now, Guide to Christian Growth, Lesson 1 and Page 1. Earnest young believers need never become backsliders. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're told this in the Bible. If we get out of fellowship with the Lord, it is our own fault. However, we should know the cause and cure of backsliding. In this way, we can be warned and instructed, but also we can help others who've lost the joy of their salvation. How does backsliding begin? Ordinarily, it's a gradual process rather than a sudden incident. Innocent pleasures may drown out our Bible study and prayer. Bad company may lure us away from spiritual things. Unconfessed sin may dull our sense of right and wrong. Gradually, we yield to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We fail to confess Christ openly. Soon, it is difficult to distinguish us from the unsaved people around us. We see this process of decline in the lives of Samson, Elimelech, and the Apostle Peter in the Bible. There are certain characteristics of the backslider or of the person who has wandered away from the Lord. First, he has no taste for the Bible or for prayer. Like a sick man, his appetite is gone. Second, he has no desire for fellowship with spiritual Christians. He would rather avoid them. If he does attend the meetings of the church, it is to hide his real condition and not because of any heart interest. Third, he has no determination to advance spiritually. Growth in grace does not seem as important as it once did. Fourth, he has little or no sense of dependence on God. He feels quite capable of making his own plans and living the way he pleases. Fifth, he is not happy. Remember this. However he may try to conceal his condition, a backslidden Christian is a miserable, unhappy person. If a person can continue happily in a path of coldness and ungodliness, then it is a sure indication that he was never born again. David prayed when he had sinned, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Sixth, a backslider is very critical of others. Instead of realizing that the fault is within himself, he blames his friends for his misery. He reminds us of the bearded old man who was sleeping under an elm tree one hot afternoon. Some of the mischievous young men of the village rubbed some strong-smelling cheese into his beard while he slept. When he awoke, he accused everyone else of smelling like cheese. This is the typical reaction of the backslider. He blames everyone else but himself. Finally, he is forever excusing himself. He claims that he's been treated unfairly, that he's been the victim of circumstances, or that he is more spiritual than other Christians. Sometimes a person whom the Christian community accepts as a true believer has not, in fact, yielded his life to Christ as Lord and Savior in genuine repentance and faith, but does not know that he is really unsaved and bound for hell. The list of characteristics of backsliding applies equally to that person. Does this list of characteristics describe you? If so, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Here are four test questions that you might ask yourself. 1. Have I repented fully of all sin, known or unknown? The Lord Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." 2. Have I really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? 3. Did my profession of conversion lead to obedience to Christ and His Word? 4. Do I avoid all sins which the New Testament specifically warns against? If you cannot answer these questions with a confident yes, you should consider the statement, "There is no sin that a backslider cannot commit except to renounce Christ." You must make sure of your salvation immediately. Receive Christ now as the music plays. If you have questions about this matter of backsliding, write to us. Our address will be given at the close of the program. Studying together at this time the lesson on backsliding. We would urge you, if you feel that you may be in that category, that you listen carefully to the material we're about to give you. We're on lesson one of the course, Guide to Christian Growth. Now the consequences of backsliding. By the way, few of those who are in this condition realize how dangerous it is. First, let's repeat that statement that we mentioned before, that there is no sin that a backslider cannot commit except to renounce Christ. Who can measure the tears, the remorse, and the sorrow of believers who have disgraced their Lord, their church, their family, and themselves through a course of disobedience? Second, remember that even a moment out of touch with God can result in a ruined life. A wrong choice, a false step, a single sin may permanently disqualify one from public usefulness for the Lord. Third, backsliding often brings physical consequences that remain throughout life. Although the believer will never have to pay the penalty of his sins for eternity, he often suffers the consequences of his sins in this life. We have an example of this in the case of King David and his sin. 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 and 14. And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die." That was 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 and 14. We also know that disease and infirmity are sometimes permanent reminders that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Fourth, When a Christian continues in a course of backsliding and disobedience, God sometimes hastens his death. This is God's final word on the matter. We should never forget the pathetic words of Naomi after she had returned from her wandering. "Call me not Naomi," meaning pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." Naomi lost her husband and two sons through death as a result of her backsliding. Like her, we can get away from God in our own strength, but only the Lord can bring us back. Like her, we can go out full, but the Lord will surely bring us back empty. Now let's consider the cure of backsliding. The one thing for which a backslider can be everlastingly grateful is that the way back to the Father's house is always open. The happy family spirit need not remain broken. The door of restoration is waiting for all who will enter. Here's the way. First, confession. God's promise is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Sin must be confessed to God. Then confession must be sincere. There's no value in repeating words of confession if our heart is not in it. Read Psalm 51 for an example of genuine contrition and repentance. That's Psalm 51. Possibly you'll want to read it after the program. Then confession should be specific. There is value in mentioning definite sins before the Lord. As we expose the wretched, vile monsters in His presence, we will be warned against ever trifling with them again. Second is restitution. The returning backslider will want to make right the wrongs he has committed against others, insofar as he is able. Stolen goods, for instance, should be returned with interest. If we have sinned against another, we should confess it to his face. And finally, there is restoration. Having made a complete confession of the matter, we should believe that God has forgiven and restored. Just as we believe that when we are saved, when we trusted Christ, so we must believe we are restored when we acknowledge and forsake our sins. Let's go over that again. Just as we believe we were saved when we trusted Christ, so we must believe we are restored when we acknowledge and forsake our sins. And by this time, we surely will have learned to feed on the Word of God each day, to spend time alone with the Lord Jesus, to fellowship with His people, and to confess Him courageously before others. As we do this, we'll find the joy of our salvation returning. This has been Lesson 1 of the course Guide to Christian Growth, a correspondence course of the Emmaus Bible School. Stay tuned for more information on this course. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. Thank you.